So the Mishnah says in the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, I'm paraphrasing, Yontov shel Rosh Hashanah shechol b'yos b'Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and it does happen, but only happens on one day. In other words, only one of the 2 days could fall out on Shabbos. Because why do I say that? Because we have a tradition that says, lo, which means with an aleph, no, lo, like stop, no. Adu, rosh. Adu is the letters, aleph is one, that's Sunday, Yom Rishon. Dalet is four, which is Wednesday. And Vav is Friday. So we have a tradition, lo adu rosh, Rosh Hashanah, based on our calendar we have today, Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. So are you telling me it is falling out on Sunday this year? It's Saturday and Sunday. And the answer is no. We're only talking about the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And that's why only, since it can't fall out on Friday. So the second day of Rosh Hashanah can never be on Shabbos, because since it can't be on Friday, Rosh Hashanah. And yes, Rosh Hashanah can be on Sunday, but that's only the second day. So therefore, we're talking about the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, anytime Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it will be the first day of Rosh Hashanah that we're discussing, not the second day. So the Mishnah says that what happened when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos? So the time when the temple was up, the Mikdash Hayu Token, it was business as usual, that there was no difference whether Rosh Hashanah fell out on Tuesday or Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. They blew the same shofar. On Shabbos in the temple, they blew shofar on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah says. However, the Mishnah says, Avaloba Medina, but not in the Medina, not outside the temple. So there's a major debate between Rashi and the Rambam on what is the definition of Mikdash. Like, very good. In the Mikdash I could blow, but outside the Mikdash, no. But they don't. What are the boundaries? So Rashi learns Kepshuto. Rashi learns the simple explanation in the Mikdash. When Rosh Hashanah fell, only in the Mikdash they blew shofar. Anywhere outside the temple was a no-go. And the Rambam has a more liberal definition of Mikdash, including the old city of Jerusalem, the Eir Atika, the walled city of Jerusalem. That was included in the Mikdash. But for our purposes, to keep it simple, we're going to always work with Rashi and just assume Mikdash is the Mikdash, but I'm pointing out that, you know, that's a debate, but we'll just work with Rashi's opinion. That's the one I'll be working with. So the question, of course, is why? That's the Talmud's question. Why the distinction between Mikdash and Medina? Like, why would I not, why wouldn't I blow shofar? I guess the assumption of the Bavli will be is, why wouldn't I blow shofar in the Medina? If I'm blowing shofar in the Mikdash, so at first glance, there should be no distinction between the Mikdash and the Medina. So the Jerusalem Talmud, which is the first thought of the Bavli, but the Jerusalem Talmud says there's a biblical difference. Because the Jerusalem says, we have two verses when it comes to shofar, Yom Truah and Zichron Truah. In Parashas Pinchas, it says it's a day of blowing of the shofar. And in Parashas Emor, it says it's Zichron Truah, referring to Shabbos. So the Yushami says very simply, he says we have a biblical injunction that when Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week, it's a Yom Truah. And when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it's a Zichron Truah. So according to the Yerushalmi, it's a biblical distinction. In other words, there is no mitzvah to blow on Shabbos. It's not like I'm not blowing. It's like if I blew shofar today, I won't get my mitzvah of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. There is no mitzvah. There's a minig to blow today, but it's not a mitzvah. So the F of the Yerushalmi says it's a biblical. So the question is, then why? If that's the case, then why do we blow in the mikdash? If there's no biblical mitzvah, if Zichron True is telling me no shofar on Shabbos, so why would I blow shofar in the mikdash? So that the Yerushalmi has to come up with a special drasha that it next to Yom Truah, it's in Parshas Pinchas, next to all the karbanos, the sacrifices we bring on the holidays. And the Jerusalem Talmud makes the following drasha, in the place of the karbanos, it's always a Yom Truah. So it's a special Gzeiras HaKasuv, biblical mandate, that in the temple, in the place where we bring the sacrifices, and that's where Yom Truah is said in the context of karbanos. Hence, the Jerusalem Talmud has its own drasha. That's what it means. That's why Shabbos should do. But it's a big chiddush. According to the Yerushalmi, the chiddush is that we blow shofar on Shabbos in the mikdash. The chiddush isn't that we don't blow shofar in the Medina. The chiddush is that we blow shofar in the temple. And of course, and the Bavli disagrees and says the chiddush is we're not blowing shofar in Hamilton on Shabbos. Why aren't we? There is no distinction. Yom Truah and Zichron Truah are referring to whether it doesn't make a difference what day of the week Rosh Hashanah falls on. It's always Yom Truah. So if that's the case, so why don't we blow shofar on Shabbos? So that's what the Bavli says. It's a rabbinical decree. We're afraid you're going to go carry, because what's going to happen? You'll wake up Shabbos morning. What shofar? I don't know how to blow shofar. According to the Gemara, the concern is you're going to start, you'll bring your shofar over to an expert and you want him to teach you how to do shofar. Practically speaking, today, as the Rambam formulates, it's more likely, assuming you had a shofar, you'd take a shofar and have him blow for you. Today, it's even less of a problem because you probably don't have a shofar and you just go there without carrying and doing it, but that's a separate discussion. But the bottom line is the Talmud says, really, we should blow shofar on Shabbos everywhere. It's a rabbinic decree. So according to the Jerusalem Talmud, the chiddush is that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that we blow shofar in the mikdash. We shouldn't blow shofar at all, a special limud. According to the Bavli, it's the opposite. I mean, everyone agrees to the facts on the ground. That on Shabbos in the mikdash, yes. In the Medina, no. And the question is, what's the chiddush? Like so according to Yerushalmi, the chiddush is the first part. But mikdash are you token? Like, because it's Zichron Truah. And according to the Bavli, no. The chiddush is that you don't blow in the Medina. Because it's only a rabbinic decree. So let me just point out an interesting observation some make is, everyone, we all have two psukim, so according to anybody, really, it says Yom Truah and Zichron Truah. So let me ask you something. What's more common over the lifetime of Jewish history? Are you going to have more, or probably any, and for that matter, anyone's lifetime, because it should be no different? What happens more often? Rosh Hashanah falling out on Shabbos or Rosh Hashanah falling out during the week? What's the more common occurrence? What would you guess mean if you didn't see the data?
Just during the week.
Right, see, that's a mathematician for you. That there are a lot more possibilities to fall out during, even though three of those days you can't fall out, but you still have four more days, So you still have more days that could fall out. That is correct. So it happens more often that it falls out during the week. So I think the Be'er Yosef, maybe the Aruch Lanier, so generally the Torah goes like in order. So it would have made more sense, they ask. It should have said, Zichron Truah is in Parshas Amor, that's in the book of Leviticus. Yom Truah is in the book of Numbers, which is afterwards. It would be more likely to put them in chronological order, meaning you should, since it happens more often, you should have did Yom Teruah first, and then Zichron Teruah. Why is it out of order? So I make an interesting observation that, and of course you have to be able to go back and figure it out. I'm trusting them on that because I didn't go back. I don't think the Ezra's Torah calendar goes all the way back. But they claim that during the original Rosh Hashanah, the first Rosh Hashanah we had, meaning the Jewish people as a nation, it was a Rosh Hashanah Shachol B'Shabbos. It was a Rosh Hashanah that fell on Shabbos. So the Torah is just giving me chronological. You're right. Of course, but in terms of how many times it happened or in terms of how often, so it is a Yom Teruah, but the reason why the Torah put Zichron Teruah first is because it was the first time that it happened on Jeff.
Yeah, you mean the first time since Har Sinai or the first time in Eretz Israel?
Good question. I assume they meant since Har Sinai.
Oh.
That's my assumption. But maybe it's both, but I assume they meant Har Sinai because that would be the first Shabbos. Because at this point, Eretz Yisrael isn't really, you know, because they had the Mishkan anyway, but Eretz Yisrael wasn't really relevant at the moment, so,
okay.
You know, in the Mikdash and the Medina thing. But, I mean, in fact, once I'm on this topic, let me elaborate on it. I saw the Aruch, I think it was the Aruch Lanier, he points out, also known as the Binyan Sion, I believe, Rav Shimshon of Shimshon Rofo Hirsch's Rebbe, he points out, he might make, I think he pointed this out is what I just said, but that I think he gave a drasha one year. Let's see if I have the exact year. I have it written down somewhere, but he said that the Aruch Lanier, let me go check, I have it down here. I might as well give you the exact year since I have it in front of me somewhere. But it talks about, he gave a drasha on Shabbos Shuvah. Right? You with me or not?
Yep, so far.
So let me explain what Shabbos Shuvah is. That next Shabbos, it's the Shabbos before Yom Kippur. That's known as Shabbos Shuvah. Right?
The Shabbos
before Yom Kippur, so it's next Shabbos. So right, not next Shabbos is Rosh Hashanah. The Shabbos after, correct? So right here, I'll give you the exact year. It says it was in 1871 when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. The Aruch Lanier in his Shabbos Shuva Drasha. Let's see, quote where he. Let's see where the drasha was. It says Bedrasha L'Shabbos Shuva Shnas Tuf Reish Lamed Beis. So I'm assuming that's equivalent of 1871. And on Parshas Hazino, it makes sense. Parshas Hazino. So yeah. He writes that historically. Well, he doesn't. You know, So he makes, in his drush, he says, historically, when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, it wasn't always a great year. I guess maybe he's a little prophetic with COVID-19. But he writes, in Jewish history, and in fact, Hillel Hasheni probably was also. Hillel Hasheni is the one who made up the calendar. Maybe it's not coincidental that we only blow shofar once this year because of perhaps the danger of spreading COVID through the shofar. So, you know, someone has suggested that. But either way, what the Aruch Lanier says is it hasn't been good historically. Well, what does he mean? Because he claims they were lacking the benefits and the protection of shofar. Because when we hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so what is he basing this on? Because the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, Tes Zayin Amid Beis 16b, that it says any year which the shofar is not blown is fated to end in misfortune. You know, so obviously maybe the assumption is it means when you should blow shofar. Pashtus, it should mean is when I have a mitzvah to blow shofar and I don't. But either way, but the Gemara says that any year which you don't blow, that's how you could qualify it if you want. But the Gemara says it's, you're not going to have the protection of the shofar, so it's not going to be so well. In fact, the Aruch HaNer points out, what were one of the two worst years ever in Jewish history? What would you say? I don't need the year, but what happened? What are the two? What do we observe on Tisha B'Av every year? Why are we fasting and doing kinos on Tisha B'Av every year? For many reasons, but what's the main reason?
The Meraglim.
That is true. What about further? Further in history. Shani Tisha B'Av. Shani Tisha B'Av. Shehuch B'Lot Tzar is double trouble. Both temples were destroyed. Chorban Bayis Rishon. So he wants to say, again, I'm trusting him on it. He demonstrated that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, in the years in which the first and second temple were destroyed. In other words, why? Because we didn't have the shofar to protect us. Because we didn't blow shofar. And he also says, because of that, he says, one has to commit themselves to do even a better tshuva than usual, because we don't have the shofar on day one. That was his stormy Shabbos Shuva drasha in 1871. You follow?
It was the teacher of Rabbi
Yish. Yeah.
I'm a confused.
Oh. And it's the same person, I believe, different svarim. On the other hand, he wants to leave us with some hope to Aruch HaNer. He doesn't want to be all doomsday, the world's coming to an end. He says, but if Klai Yisrael does tshuva and Shabbos is properly observed this year, that's why no shofar, we don't want to carry on Shabbos. But if this year we see what could happen, it could end not so well, and it didn't start off that well with COVID, but it could end well if we keep Shabbos properly, then it could be a special time. That in the merit of Shmira Shabbos and a tshuva gemura, that could end up protecting. What's its proof to this? Because we had 2 years where Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos and great things happened to us. What is that? So he says, to this end he demonstrated that the year the Mishkan was built and the year Klai Yisrael achieved atonement for the sin of the Cheta Ego were years in which Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. So therefore, it's the most precarious times, but it can be the most. It reminds me of another drasha, not necessarily from the Aruch HaNer, but they talk about Lag BaOmer. There's the Rama writes that Lag BaOmer is a mixes yuntif. It's a quasi yuntif. Well, we all know. Like, what do you mean? We know it as the day where the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, but historically speaking, I think the Chasam Sofer points out, obviously it wasn't Lag BaOmer yet, because as you'll see when I'll tell you, because it was Koda Matan Torah, or whatever, we'll see if it was, by one of the dates anyway. So he says, what happened on Lag BaOmer, where, whatever, I think it's a Yud Ches Iyar, whatever, I'm not sure, whatever the, I have a calendar in front of me, I might as well look. Because I know you're a bunch of yekis and stuff. Since I'm quoting the Ara Rav Shimshon of Hirsch's Rebbe, you know, aren't they known to be very particular or not? So maybe they get a bad rap. So let me look. Lag BaOmer, yes, the 18th of Iyar. Okay. So the Chasam Sofer, you know what happened originally, way, way back, on the 18th day of Iyar? That is, again, it's different opinions in the Medrash, but the Mabul began. The Mabul, the flood that destroyed the world during the time of Noah, that began on the 18th. So clearly it was a very, you know, not a great time, right? But he said, what happened later on in Jewish history? What good thing happened? He said, the man started falling. The manna that we had for 40 years, it on a traveling in the Midbar, that started falling. So he says, so that's what he says, Lag BaOmer is a very, you know, auspicious time. On one hand, it's fraught with the Mabul. On the other hand, if you act properly, you have more koach, like kind of like matzah. For matzah to be matzah, you have to have the ability to make it into chametz. That's what has to come from the five grains. That something which has the potential for very bad always has the potential for equally very, very good. And that's the yisod in life. So, and in fact, because when he goes on, now he doesn't go on the Chasam Sofer, but others point out that there's a connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer as plag indicates. Plag, Pei Lamed Gimel. Pei stands for Purim, Lamed Gimel stands for Lag BaOmer. So what's the connection? So they point out it always happens on the same day. Purim and Lag BaOmer always happen on the same day of the week. That means, I guess, it's going to be on Friday, because I think Purim's coming out on Friday. So either way, so what's the question? So what's the connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer? So there are many of them, but one of them is that same thing with Purim. Purim, it started off, Lahashmi Laharo is called Yehudim. It was the day Haman picked to destroy the Jewish nation. And it ended up being that, you know, we got rescued, and Mordechai, Esther, etc. So it started off terrible, but it ended off great. So too, that's what, Lag BaOmer. It started off terrible with the Mabul, but it ended off, you know, tremendous with the months. It just reminded me that's similar here, that it's true that even though it didn't really start, because these things happened first, actually. The Mishkan was built, and the Cheda Ego happened, that happened before Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. So therefore, here's, you know, it's similar. It started off great. It ended off, and not so good. We have the ability to change it back to good again. So, but that, you know, that's the question. So that, which reminds me of another Shiloh, like, what's Pshat when we don't blow shofar? This Shabbos, physically speaking, we will not be blowing shofar. What I mean is, you're not going to hear a ram's horn. So I want to know, Pi Halacha, how do we view, are we viewing Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos as not hearing the shofar, or are we viewing it, we heard the shofar even though we didn't hear the shofar. Are we getting credit for shofar blowing by not blowing? Let me elaborate. So there's an interesting question that arises. We have a concept of chazaka. So we know chazaka, you keep the status quo. Let's say I'm holding on to the $20 bill, and someone comes over and says, hey, that $20 bill is mine. So assume he doesn't have a document, witnesses, so he,
or a gun,
or a knife, or some other weapon, or a dog. And he says, what's the rule? Hamotzi mechavero, a love haraya. In other words, who's the burden of proof is on you, not me. The one who's holding on to the money is considered a mukzak. So we have a rule of chazaka, but many people don't know, and it's one of the things that's lost in North America, is it's a concept of chazaka b'mitzvahs. That if someone's been doing a mitzvah for a long time for the rabbin, not a long time, a couple of times, so he has a chazaka. It's not so simple to take it away from him. So let's say a person's blowing the shofar and he gets older, he can't do it anymore, he can't do it properly, maybe he goes deaf, but maybe that's the problem. If you can't hear, maybe you can't be most of the other people. I'm not going into all the halachic technicality, but so clearly if there are halachic problems, then what could you do? Then obviously you have no chazaka, because you can't do the mitzvah, so I'm not taking you away from doing it. You blowing the shofar is not accomplishing anything anyway. So that's not an issue. So, but I'm talking about a case where a person is healthy, he's been blowing shofar, and then, well, you know what? Some guy gave a lot of money, I'm just making it up, or whatever the case may be. We're dumping you, we're taking someone else. I'm not getting every specific case, the local rav will have to make a decision if it warrants or not. But let's assume this, all things being equal, chazaka b'mitzvah, you can't do that. a person has the right to keep on blowing shofar. So the question is, let's say in this shul, you have the minig was that one person always blows the first day of, you want to split up the kibudim. So you have one day, the first day, Yaakov always blew, and second day, Yosef always blew. That's been the standard. The shaila is what happens this year. I guess what happened to the years before, but what happens this year when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Who gets to blow shofar on Sunday? Who has the chazakah? Do I say, well, the chazakah is I always blow on the first day of the first blowing of Rosh Hashanah. So usually it's on the first day, but if the first blowing is Sunday, I get to do it. Or they say, no, you got to do it. You got the first day of Rosh Hashanah. This year you don't have it, so I get it. So that was a major debate among the Achronim. Who has the chazakah b'mitzvahs in that case? So what's the issue? Like, one of the issues, anyway, is the question. So some want to point out that no. It's no problem. The one who usually blows on the second day continues to blow. Why? Because the person did blow on the first day. There's a lashon in the Bir Halacha, in other poskim, ki'ilu taka, that really the Kedushas HaLevi, but Levi Mibarditchev points out that really, you know, it is more Hasidish Torah Machshava, but even in the Halachic Sforum, they have a lashon ki'ilu taka, that really, and I think the Sfas Emes discusses it as well, because usually the shofar is great, but we're still lacking because there's human intervention. I mean, there's someone actually blow. So on paper, you're never going to get the ideal. Like, no, who could do a perfect, you know, whatever quote. I'm not saying we're not Yotzei, but who could do a perfect, you don't have the right makshava, maybe you're off with the breath, you know, whatever it is, you could do a great shofar blowing, but it's still not 100%, you know, in Shamayim, it's still not 100%, but don't worry, we'll take 90%, whatever it might be. So there's always the human element which is going to take away from it, because you can never do it 100% right. Yes. It's a big chesed, but when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we get the ultimate. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's blowing the shofar. There's no human, God saying, we don't need shofar today. Kedusha Shabbos. We're afraid you're going to carry, you just keep the Shabbos, and I'll blow the shofar for you, so to speak. Because the question is, how come I'm not blowing shofar? Because I'm an honest. It's like if someone puts a gun to my head and says, if you blow the shofar, I'll kill you. The luck is don't blow the shofar. Unless, of course, you think the gun is blank or he's bluffing. Even then, I wouldn't necessarily take my chances. But if you're an honest, you don't do it. So what greater honest? God told me I can't blow. Well, God, the Chacham, whoever told me, I can't blow the shofar today. So I'm an honest. So honest command the Ovid. So I get, so honest Rachmana Patre is a debate also. But not only I get credit for blowing. So therefore, that's what some want to point out, that no, those who argue the second day guy gets it, because they're arguing that the first day got the credit already. So if you argue not this way, then you have a debate whether who gets it. If you assume the first person got credit for shofar blowing, so then obviously why would he get to blow the second? So that would be one factor. I just wanted to bring it in the kudos. So that, again, that's different shuls have different minhagim. You know, machokas, I'm not sure what the minig is, because I've never been in a shul where we had two different baal tekiya. Every minion I've been at, it's always been the same person. Or, unless, of course, maybe I didn't know. If I was in a new shul, and it was a Rosh Hashanah Chol B'Shabbos, I don't know what happened last year. So either way, I'm not sure if there's a prevalent minig or different shuls have different minhagim. Yeah, Jeff.
Look, I'm sorry to just stop me here. Look, does everybody agree, all the people arguing about that the reason you don't blow on the first on the first day is because of
Takana
of the
Chachamim. If by everyone you mean the Bavli, according to the Babylonian Talmud, not the Jerusalem, according to
both.
No, but I make You're making a good observation. I'll just clarify. According to the Yerushalmi, it should be, there's nothing to discuss. There is no shofar blowing, so therefore you can't argue. You have to make a stand now on that shaila. According to the Yerushalmi, I want to know who would get it. According to the Bavli, we could say it's not an issue, because according to the Bavli, min haTorah, there is a mitzvah, and the rabbis are telling you not to do it. So then, according to Yerushalmi, there's no, it's like, I don't get credit for blowing shofar, that there's no mitzvah. So according to Yerushalmi, this wouldn't be a question. You'd have to paskin the shaila of chazakah b'mitzvah. According to the Bavli, one could avoid the shaila by saying, no, it is chazakah b'mitzvah, and you got the chazakah. You, by not blowing, you got credit for blowing, because by listening to the rabbi, or however you want to learn it. According to the Yerushalmi, what makes sense? Why would you get credit if there isn't even a biblical mitzvah to get credit for? You can't get credit for something that's not commanded. I'm not getting credit for shaking the fourth species today. You follow or not?
No. I don't understand, the Yerushalmi. Why is there no mitzvah, no mitzvah at all of blowing on a Shabbos? It's because Kaviyachol, God wants us not to spoil the Shabbos?
No. Two words. The Torah says Zichron Trua. Zichro means to remember, in contrast to Yom Trua. So the Yerushalmi learns, the Torah is telling me, the mitzvah is only to think about the shofar, not to blow the shofar. Why the Yerushalmi think, we can get into why, the why is not for us. But I'm just saying is, that's just the factual thing. Zichron Trua, there is no mitzvah. That's what it's saying. According to the Yerushalmi, what are you saying?
According to Yerushalmi, and let us do it both. According to Yerushalmi and the Bavli, why do you say, what is the concept of Zichron Trua?
What do you mean both? What do you mean both? They both say totally different things. What do you mean? According to Yerushalmi, Zichron Trua means there's no mitzvah of shofar. End of discussion. Why? There's no need to go. There's no more question. The shofar doesn't exist, and like what kind? So what? There's no more questions to ask. Like what?
Okay.
I don't get credit for not violating Shabbos today because it's Sunday. But why did he make? Okay, so you could keep why? I mean, you could go on forever. I don't know why. I'm just giving you the facts. There is no mitzvah, and he gives you the reason. Zichron Trua. There's no mitzvah. End of discussion. There's no discussion for the Yerushalmi. According to the Bavli, that both Yom Trua and Zichron Trua apply equally to Shabbos and Yontov. So then I could ask why, if biblically speaking, there's a mitzvah of shofars, then I could have this discussion. Do I get credit when the rabbis told me not to do a mitzvah in the Torah? Do I get, is it Kiel I did it, or maybe even better, or I don't do it? So then you could debate that shaila. And that could be the shaila of chazakah b'mitzvah, one facet of the shaila.
So by the Bavli, there was a mitzvah of blowing on Shabbos,
Takana is usually, you make a takana to do something, usually. I know, you're just using it interchangeably. I'm just saying, I know what you mean. Yeah, go on.
So in the mystic of the Bavli, just to make it simple, the helps us what we follow, but according to the Bavli, the reason for Zichron Trua is because, see, why does the Bible say Zichron Trua? The Bible, the Chumash, the Torah didn't know,
You're asking according to the Bavli.
Yes, just stick to the Bavli now.
Yeah, excellent question. That's our share for Thursday night. The Bavli never tells us what. The Rav Soloveitchik has a long share on that question that we'll discuss perhaps on Thursday night. But yeah, that according to the Yerushalmi, it makes sense. You need two psukim. According to the Bavli, The Gemara never answers, why do we need two psukim?
Right.
Yeah,
so
that, we're not answering that question now, but it's an excellent question.
Does Zichron Tshuva mean it's Yom Tshuva, but maybe for some reason you don't actually blow that day, but it's still Yom Tshuva? Or does Zichron Tshuva mean Davka, there's no blowing Doraisa on?
No, according to the Bavli.
No, according to the Bavli, it's the first thing.
No, according to the Bavli, clearly, according to the Bavli, it's a mitzvah in our Torah to blow.
Yes,
it's
yes,
only a it's a rabbinic zera not to blow, period. So the question is, it's only, so according to the Bavli, what do I need two psukim for? According to the, yeah, exactly. According to Yerushalmi, it's not a question. We need two psukim.
Yeah,
okay. We need two psukim for two different days. But according to the Bavli, why do we need two verses? Yeah.
Yes.
You follow?
Yes, yes, yes.
Any other questions? I have to go to an unveiling shortly.
Okay. So the person's from Shama Shetem and Aliyah. And I hope it made it first that evening. You should throw some
exactly. You could throw it out to me to remind me if you want to discuss that question.
Maybe the other things which are just as important.
Yeah, these are what I'm saying. Yeah, that could be. That's definitely one possibility.
Okay, Shkoyah.
That, among others, will be something on Inyani Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. And Rosh Hashanah Shachol B'Shabbos, yeah. Mauricio, you have a question or no? That's it.
No, that's it. Okay.